We're in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Before we get into chapter 2, I want to give you a little overview of Ephesians. The theme verse of Ephesians is 4:1, and that's up there at the top. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Okay, first of all, he is sharing the vocation. He's talking about the vocation, the calling, the glories of it, the benefits of it. But the theme of the book is, here's all the blessings promised. Here's the glory of what's offered to you, the glory of your calling, okay? Now, I want to beseech you, based on that you walk worthy of such a calling. Romans is the same. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God that we have just discussed, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, in all of Paul's epistles, you'll find this similar pattern. First, we're going to talk about what you get and what you are and what's available in Christ. And then we're going to talk about the corresponding responsibility. So the theme verse here, I want you to notice a few things. That the word vocation is klesis, calling. And then wherewith ye are kaleo, called forth. The word kaleo is very closely related to the klesis, as you can see. Klesis is a shorter form of kaleo, all right? So these are very closely related words, obviously. The calling and the called should be. Now, the word church that we use is ekklesia. You see that clay in there? It's a calling out, an assembly that is called out, all right? So, we have a calling. The word is also used for an invitation. There is a great invitation. And when we respond to that invitation, we become the called ones. When we gather together and assemble, we are the called assembly. That's what the church is. The assembly of the ones who are called and have responded to the call and have become the called. Because responding to the invitation makes you those who were the invited. All right? Now, understand, in the Old Testament, Psalm 89:5, and the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. The Hebrew Bible, when translated into the Greek, called the Septuagint, they translated that Hebrew word congregation by the word ekklesia. That was long before Jesus arrived on the scene. The word church is not just the New Testament organization, a brand new thing. It's not a new thought. The congregation of the Lord in the Old Testament is also referred to as his church, his assembly, the called out assembly. In Matthew 22:14 that we're going to look at here, for many are kletos, called, but few are eklektos, elected. That's also closely related. You can expect that the apostles will use these terms the same way they were already used in the scriptures. They had the Septuagint, and they knew when they used the word ekklesia that this was a word that went back to the assembly in the synagogue, went back to the congregation of the Lord in the temple, way back there. It wasn't just a New Testament invention, okay? It wasn't a new idea. Turn to Matthew 22. The calling is what? Called to a mansion in heaven. Well, that can be a part of it. And the term mansion that they use is not what we think of as a mansion. You're not getting the biggest, best house you can find in Better Homes and Gardens, and you're going to order that for heaven, okay? In heaven, in my Father's house, are many dwellings. Do you know the word mansion? Years past, the pastor's house that was, you know, he was the pastor of the church. He also got to live in the manse. Okay? It was a term that meant the house. We call it a different term now, and it's right on the tip of my tongue. But there's a house that he was given for his place to stay while he was being the pastor of that church. They used to call it the manse. Well, the word mansion doesn't mean a castle, a huge, glorious house. It means a dwelling place. And so Jesus used it in that way. And this idea of, I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, but I've got a mansion, that's a false concept for covetous people. Uh-huh. Okay? In Matthew 22, verse 1, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. I just thought of that word. You know, you see your computer, you bring up a program, that little thing is spinning, and then finally it comes up. Well, mine finally came up. It's a parsonage is what we call it today. Anyhow, let's go back. Verse 3. And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which were bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. What is this about? Who's the king? The king is God. The marriage is for his son. It's the Messiah calling forth the bride. All right? Now, in this parable, you are invited to the wedding. In reality, you are invited to be a part of the bride. But this illustrates the situation there. Israel were those to whom the promises pertained. Romans 11, Romans 9. So he says here, they were called to the wedding, come unto the marriage, but they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth and sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers. That was AD 70. And burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready. But they which were bidden, those who were originally in the guest list, were not worthy, which was the nation of Israel as a nation. There were thousands of Jews that believed, but the nation as a whole did not. Then saith he to his servant, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. That was the Gentiles. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. So he was the called. He came, but he did not come the way he was supposed to come. He did not follow the program. He did not abide by the terms of the invitation. The calling was connected to conditions. The calling was connected to responsibilities. He did not abide by those conditions and responsibilities. And the king saw him there, and he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are kletos, but few are eklektos. Now, Jesus just illustrated what these words mean. Why on earth do people run to Ephesians and use them contrary to the obvious teaching of Jesus Christ? Did the apostles teach what Jesus taught them faithfully? Then you can't interpret or define their terms different than what Jesus taught.
Right.
And yet that's what Protestantism does. That's what Calvinists do. Calvinists do not use the word called or elected in the way Jesus just told them to. They say, well, you're elected for the foundation of the world. No, the program was chosen before the foundation of this age. We went through all that, okay? You as an individual, okay, the original guest list was formed way back there with Abraham. His children were supposed to be on it. The ones who were working the program were the one to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Okay, so the Jew was invited first to the wedding. The wedding was planned in the Garden of Eden when he said the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. So all of this was planned before the foundation of this age, back in the garden, before this present age, all right? It was planned before the Mosaic Covenant. It was planned before the sacrifices began. It was planned before circumcision began. Now, Jesus is coming and saying, the wedding is ready, come, now is the time. But the wedding had already been planned. The original guest list and those who would be on it was already pre-planned. And the fact that if they didn't come, the Gentiles would be called was all in the plans. So the king had this all lined out. Expect the apostles to use these terms the same as Jesus did. You say, well, you know, the Bible's mysterious and you've got to be a theologian to figure it out. No, you just got to be